You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1. Yeah, commuting sucks, but these guys don't.
I'm tired of this garbage. I've never understood how people that are guilty, they don't do this on the stand. I'm going to do it. I had a nap and I slept in, and I'm sorry, guys.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
So we generally rely on our buddy Al, the producer, to kind of boost our spirits a little bit.
Yeah, kind of get us going, feel good about ourselves.
Pre-game pep talk.
Yep.
He rolls in here 30 seconds before the show and says what?
You ever had one of those days where you're just not on? Al's off.
It's like, I'm not feeling it, guys.
And then he walks out the room. So it just sets the tone for energy in here.
So he's built, you know what he has.
Tuesday, not Friday, Al.
He's built in an excuse for him to be bad today.
You know what I think he's doing?
What, setting the table?
Setting the table for when the clock strikes midnight tonight. Because Do you know what you can do as of midnight this evening?
Smoke a joint.
Now, I don't know if Al's into that kind of stuff, but it goes legal tonight as of midnight. I have a feeling there are a lot of people who are not feeling so great today, but anticipate having a very big midnight this evening.
I'm not a pot smoker, so it's not going to change my life.
Will not affect my life one way or the other.
But I just
worry. There will be full Cheech and Chong mode tomorrow.
I haven't seen anything or read anything, but I wouldn't be shocked if tonight at midnight some seance is going on downtown.
But how does this work? Like, you know how people go out for dart breaks? Can they go out and just blow weed?
Well, do you go out and have a beer break? You can't do that, right? Like, you can.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how this works.
I don't think you can.
I don't think you can do that.
I would imagine that Bell would have to send something and say, hey, well, what do you mean, why not?
It's still a drug.
It's a drug.
It's legal, but it's a drug.
But, like, you can't go have a beer at a 15-minute break. Can you? I don't think so.
No, but around the work office, a lot of times, you know, you go for beers afterwards for morale. That's what I'm wondering. Is there going to be like a Christmas party where it's beers, wine, and weed available for people?
I think there's...
Is that where we're going?
It's good. I'm pretty sure if somebody wants to go out in the middle of their shift and smoke a joint, they can do it.
Well, I hate to break it to you. It's probably been happening already.
Yeah.
Anybody that's like, oh, as of tomorrow I can smoke weed, has probably been smoking weed.
I'm not going to out anybody, but there are people that I've smelt, what I've worked with. I'm sure that I've smelt the Chiba.
Look at you. Are you kind of trying to get into the
remember
here
the
and
song,
now in terms
Chiba,
of the terminology?
Chiba by Tone Loc. Mulls would know that song.
You know what? Get the Afro Man song, Because I Was High. We should play that all day tomorrow, maybe.
Chiba Chiba by Tone Loc. Have you ever heard it?
No.
The beginning of it. I don't know. Mulls, have you ever heard it? See, this is old school rap.
I like Tone Loc.
The beginning of the song, he's basically choking on a reefer. He's like, that's where he starts.
We've dropped reefer and Chiba in the first 3 minutes.
I don't even know what Chiba means.
I'm telling you, I, in a break,
the hippest show
Mulls is going to play it for us because Chiba Chiba by Tone Loc, it's a pretty cool song.
Do you want to hear the hottest song on the internet right now?
What
do
is
you
want
to hear the hottest new song online? Do you guys want to hear this?
Yes.
I don't even know where you're sitting at.
Does that not set the mood for the NBA returning tonight?
I think it's awesome. Now, would he think it's awesome?
No, there's no chance if you're the brunt of the joke or your laugh is, you're going to find that awesome or funny. I don't think there'd be any sense of humor involved from Kawhi's standpoint, but that's well done.
Sure. It's so funny. Can we hear it again, please?
I believe that's courtesy of SB Nation. It's a great great website, SBNation.com.
This is really funny.
That's pretty well done, right?
Yeah.
But
very well done.
I mean, Kawhi...
He'll be like, no, I'm never talking again. Never. Never.
I think he's going to... If he has any type of sense of humor, which it sounds like he does behind the scenes, I think he'll joke about it with his buddies. He may not be too impressed in the public eye about it, but it's funny. And put it this way, his press is all positive press, really. Like, last year, let's not forget, he played 9 games and there was controversy surrounding him all the time. That's absolutely all you heard about it.
Yep, absolutely.
This year it's, hey, you know, yeah, do you want to play in Toronto the rest of your career? But that's a side story. The fact that he's a very good player and, knock on wood, he's healthy and ready to go, it should be positive, Kawhi.
Well, I think it is. I mean, I think Toronto's put up that bubble for him, sure. And people have embraced him, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he has in store starting tomorrow night. But the rest of the league is still wondering if he's healthy.
Yeah.
I'm sure in San Antonio, they're still thinking, what happened? Like, what was the real story? Like, why did he have to leave? Why didn't he come back and play when the Spurs medically cleared him to play? You know, those stories have not popped up in Toronto.
Yeah.
We've just decided, like, forget that. It's a whole new era.
It's water under the bridge.
I don't care about any of the baggage.
You're right. Like, that, people are going to be looking for answers. You're right. If you are medically cleared but still can't go, somebody's... I don't think a Toronto scribe would ask him that question,
well,
or have they?
It's not, you know, it doesn't pertain to the conversation here in Toronto. It doesn't fit into the narrative. I don't care about what happened in San Antonio because he's here now. I want to see what happens. But when they roll into San Antonio and he does press, you know someone there is going to be like, all right, enough with the laughs, good to see you again. What the hell happened last year? Why did you not play?
Yeah.
And then why did it get to a point where you demanded out effectively? But, you know, San Antonio's loss, if you want to phrase it that way, can be Toronto's gain starting tomorrow night. And Masai Ujiri will join us at 5:30 to tee up the season. So that's coming up later this afternoon. Bob McKenzie in studio at 4:30. The Leafs do it again last night. 4-1 win. I thought they played well. Matthews again with 2 points. I mean, now he's putting up numbers in terms of 7 consecutive games with at least 2 points.
Multi-points, yeah. It's impressive.
Like, these are crazy stats now.
I thought that was one of their better team games. They didn't have those breakdowns where the other team was dominating, creating chances.
Yeah, there wasn't like long... No, that's the wrong wording. Not long stretches, but there weren't pockets of the game where you're like, okay, they're back on their heels, they're chasing it. It was a solid game, I think.
It was a solid game. I don't think L.A. had really much to bring to the table.
You know who looked exhausted last night?
Kopitar.
Yeah. He looked exhausted. Like, he looked so bad on that second cap, and he just mailed it in. He just did, he stopped working.
He just quit on a
2-on-1.
I think his conditioning got called into question before last year, and he came into camp. He was in great shape. He was up for the heart. He
hit 92 points.
He had an amazing
year.
Season.
Incredible.
Last year. Amazing
just,
season.
They just look like they're in a transition where it's like, they're getting older. They got older guys. They got some younger guys. But together, it didn't work last night.
You know,
he's
a really good player. Is that Kempe, Adrian Kempe? Like, he is. I did the game Saturday.
They got smoked on Saturday and didn't look that good.
No, I did the game. I did that game, and they've got a few players. Like, you're right. Like, you can't lay this all at the feet of Jack Campbell. But
you can't.
That's playing, like. If Frederick Anderson had Jonathan Quick's injury, you're looking at Garrett Sparks every night. That's what LA's got. They've got a guy coming up, and I don't think Quick's injury is week to week, which is scary. The minute that narrative comes out, week to week, it's not like, yeah, I tweaked. It's not the Freddie injury where, like, hey, he's playing Thursday, or so we think. That's a couple
of
days.
That's getting a little bit
we gotta get
dicey
into that,
because... Last night, for whatever reason, Babcock felt obligated to come out and say Freddie's starting
right
on
away,
Thursday.
Playing Thursday.
I don't know why he did that, really.
Maybe to calm the masses.
Maybe, but you didn't calm the masses, because now Freddie shows up today and leaves practice after 20 minutes and speaks with the media and goes, I don't know if I'm playing on Thursday.
And talking about his knee being a little swollen.
Yeah.
Like,
that didn't calm the masses.
No, I mean, now we start to do a deep dive onto it, but... you know, getting into last night's game, Sparks, I thought, looked solid. You know, their team played well. Matthews is on fire. You know, it's every different night. Now you're starting, and that was the one thing I was kind of complaining to you guys off air early on in the season, is their depth. Now you're seeing some depth come in and really, like, chip in. That's the one thing I wanted to see get going, because it just couldn't be a 3 or 4 man show every night. Now you're starting to see, you know, Marlow gets off the schneid a little bit.
And that second power play, that's 2 games in a row where they've contributed.
So it's nice to see them come together as a kind of as a unit, and growing. And it's a tough test. Like they're two games in for me of that, let's say, 6-7 game series against playoff teams. I know L.A. is got swept by Vegas, but they were in the playoffs last year. They may be at the bottom end. Good game against Washington, although we talked about it. I think I'm sure you guys discussed it yesterday. You know, there were pockets in that game where you felt like, hey, buckle up. But
there's pockets in every game. Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of times, I mean, you watch games and you evaluate through the prism of your own team.
Right.
I would guess if you talked to Capitals fans after Saturday night, they probably said, man, this was brutal, or why didn't we do this, or man, right. They were letting the Leafs get all over them. You know, if you have two teams that are evenly matched, it's going to be an ebb and flow.
Right.
That's going to happen. But 6-1 is 6-1. You exactly. Bank those points. You know, you bank them, and Freddie, that's going to be the story leading up to Thursday night.
Yeah.
Whether he plays or not, quite frankly, if he's 99%, I wouldn't play him.
Yeah,
you know, why would you force him in when you're 6-1 and it's October?
And it
doesn't make any sense.
And I don't know. No. You know, we're not doctors. We're not privy to the information. But you're right. Even if he's 99%, like the schedule dictates, he can be well rested. Allow Sparks a couple games to settle in and get a little bit of a run going, if possible, if you need. But it's a good test for Garrett Sparks if he plays Thursday. But also, this is an investment. You don't want anything to nag starting in October that could still be there in April if you press it.
Well, again, we talked about that yesterday, where the NHL is not like the NBA or even certain divisions in the NFL where you can pencil a guy in or a team in
right.
week one and be like, they're going to be in the playoffs and they're playing to get there. You know, the Patriots have been doing it almost for two decades. We right. know we're getting there. Let's make sure we're on our A game come the playoffs. We know Golden State is doing that. We know right. the Raptors are doing it this year. They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to win a lot of games. And the NHL is not, I don't think it's smart business to do that because of the parity in the league and yeah. the uncertainty of the sport. But the Leafs, I think, feel pretty confident that they're going to be playing into April.
Yes.
So think big picture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to fully commit to it, but you should be thinking big picture compared to where you would have been 2 or 3 years
ago. Err on the side of caution.
Err on the side of caution and make sure that Freddie Anderson is at 100% come April 10th.
Yeah.
That's the priority.
And mm-hmm. if he's not on Thursday night, don't even think about it.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about. It's just
go with Sparks on Thursday night. That's fine.
And to me, Sparks is still in that, you know, establishing himself phase. It's nice if he could get, you know, some games underneath his belt as well to feel comfortable. Because he wasn't comfortable that first game in Chicago. And, yeah, it's an outlier. He still won. So he's 2-0 on the season. Last night he looked a lot more comfortable. There were a couple scrambles, but he fought through them. And I give him full credit for that. But why not? If Freddie's not at
100%, play exactly. Sparks. I'm all for that.
Yeah.
Kasperi Kapanen were two more goals last night. And it always comes back to William Nylander. You knew this was coming. Like yeah. I didn't hear how the question was phrased in the scrum. I just saw his answer. But I hope it wasn't, and I don't know, and I don't even know who asked him, but I hope someone didn't go to him and go, do you feel awkward taking William Nylander's job?
Because no, it's his job right now.
Nylander's not on the team.
No,
and it's why would Kapanen be like, yeah, I'd rather Babs played me on a different line, so I wasn't
when
technically...
When he and him played and you were injured, you're in jeopardy of losing your job.
Well, somebody else is...
Somebody else is just...
The train
say,
keeps
okay,
going.
Okay, you want to be hurt? Okay, well, somebody else is going to go in there, and if they play good... You might just sit up in that press box for a few more games. So it's not like it's his job right now.
And he's taking
full... And I'll tell you what, no kidding. And if I'm William Nylander, you don't want to look at the situation and say, man, I hope my team sucks. But I don't think this is ideal for him looking at this saying, well, Austin Matthews can't produce. There's nothing going on offensively. They can't produce goals. They're doing that. And Kasperi Kapanen is a guy that's been sitting in the wings watching the tires pumped of Mitch Marner, of Austin Matthews, of everybody else, and he's just saying, you know what, I just want to find my way, I want to get involved, be an NHL player, and he's doing that right now.
And
I don't know what the sample size is where the organization has to say, you know what, we're comfortable with this guy going forward. He's very fast, he gets in the forecheck. There's a couple plays he might bail out on, which are obvious, but at the end of the day, he's producing. He takes some stress off of Marlowe because he can get in on the forecheck, and he's doing a heck of a job. I don't know what, and Jamie's been in those meetings, what sample size you need to say, you know what, we're good with this guy, we're moving on from the other player?
A little more than this.
Obviously, but he's kind of creeping towards that.
Well, he hasn't hurt his case on any front. Here's the thing I'll say, too, is he wasn't an everyday NHLer last year. He's working towards that. I think I always say crawl before you walk. And right now he's in the, hey, I'm crawling, but I'm getting up on my feet stage. Because right now everything is glorious in Leafland. They were 6-1. I didn't know this last year I didn't know this, that they were 6-1 last year as well. I actually forgot about that. But they're playing well. Everyone's, knock on wood, healthy and kind of at the top of their game, other than maybe a couple outliers here and there. He's going to get every opportunity, and he's seizing it. I'm happy for him. And right now, regardless of what you think of William Nylander's situation, the train is moving. He's going to have to jump on a moving train, whether that's November 1st. It has to be by December 1st, who doesn't play hockey in the NHL this year. I believe it's going to happen. But
I don't think the Leafs were going to budge anyway, but now there's 0% chance they are, because I think Nylander's...
They're 6-1. They're scoring goals at will.
Right. And listen, Nylander has put up very good numbers the past 2 years.
Yes.
Nobody on earth has taken Kapanen over Nylander. Nobody. Now, Kapanen, if he gets more opportunity, can maybe prove that he's got a higher ceiling. I think, sometimes we forget he was a first-round pick, and... You know, this is a guy who's got that NHL pedigree with his dad playing in the league. Yeah. There's actually a lot of similarities between him and Nylander. But Nylander's been riding shotgun with Matthews for 2 years. And I'm sure the Leafs have been preaching that to him during the negotiation. Yes, we see the 60 points. Do you know who you've been playing with?
Yeah.
We believe he's a top five player in the league. And look at what Kapanen is doing now.
He's playing with proving it. We just put another guy in with him, and he's got 8 points.
Exactly. Now, I'm not saying the Leafs are going to be petty and call him up today and be like, actually, now we're reducing the offer. I don't think that's happening.
That's not the case.
But they are not going to crawl towards William Nylander. Nylander either accepts what's on the table, and I would guess, and I've always believed, there's multiple options on the table, short-term and long-term, or he doesn't play.
Yeah,
that's
so
it.
Take it or leave it.
Yeah, it's that easy. And I want to see him play. I
think as an organization, you have to get to the point where if he doesn't want to take it, you have to think, what are the options other than that?
Well, you have to. I would be very, very careful. I would not look at anything as far as a trade scenario or anything right now.
Me neither. I think William Nylander
is going to play a big part.
So you would rather him sit out a whole year and just come back in the summer and say, oh, you want to talk about this again?
Well, not for a bad trade. Like, if a great trade presents itself, and I have no idea what that would be, then you entertain it even if he is locked in on term. You have to do that.
See, if I'm the GM, or I'm not trading him just to trade him. I would take things personally, and I'd be watching and saying, oh, David Pastrnak, oh. Look at him right now. You think you deserve that contract? Yeah. You're getting less than him. You're not as good as him. Look at what he's doing right now. So what do you want to do? You want to sit and not play? Go ahead.
Yeah, you're right, in a sense, but we can do that. We can do that throughout the league.
And to think that he wants more than that is insane.
But
insane.
He can ask for the world. It doesn't mean he's getting it.
No, exactly.
I'm not here to throw stones at William Nylander. This is a business, and he's doing what he believes is right. Now, we don't know what the offer is on the table. It's been reported that he's asked for north of $8 million. We don't know what the Leafs have offered. Nobody's reported anything of what is come back his way.
No one knows what the Leafs are offering.
So he may be sitting at
home. They might be offering 5.5 exactly. over 8 years, and he's like, well, I can't do that. And, meet me somewhere in the middle.
I still want to give him the benefit of the doubt in that right, because I think... It's tough for us now, even because we live it every day. We're watching the Leafs win last night. Now they're 6-1, first place. Everyone's happy. They're breaking records left and right. People are feeling good. So you're like, you don't need this guy. You do need him, because when
you do need him, but at a price, and that's always been the case.
Even if
they were 1-6, they just don't have the money.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is William Nylander for the Toronto Maple Leafs, when we're looking at this team in April and in May and that, you hope that William Nylander adds to the depth of this team. And I think that's what Kyle Dubas is
saying. Of course he would. But, I mean, listen, if they end up giving him six or whatever, it's not to play on the third line.
No.
Like, they know what they're paying for, and they know where they see him playing. It's with Matthews long term. And I think that's always been clear. But in the moment, you got to believe Nylander's sitting there refreshing NHL.com in the morning and saying, really? Kapanen had two again last night and they won 4-1? You know, like that would just be human nature. Like,
but it also speaks to Austin Matthews how well he's played. It's that, like,
he can put me and you on his line.
But that's, you know, that's something that factors in. I believe this summer I was going through some numbers with Kevin Gibson, our statistician, and what Nylander did with Matthews and what he did without. Because Matthews missed 20 games last year. And if you take a look at his body of work without Austin Matthews, it dropped, but it wasn't horrendous. You know, Nylander is a really good player. He's not an elite player. But he can be dragged up by somebody like Austin Matthews. Kapanen's being dragged up by Austin Matthews. Mm-hmm. So he's seizing his opportunity. Good for him, but I think when the dust settles, you know, that right side will be a lot stronger if you can get Nylander at a decent price, because I think you're going to need him.
Masai Ujiri will join us at 5:30. Bob McKenzie's going to be in studio in about 10 minutes. The Leafs are 6-1 after a win last night. The NBA season starts tonight. Raptors at home tomorrow night. You can hear that game right here on TSN Radio. We'll continue to look back on a game last night. A couple of baseball games tonight as well. Bobby Mack in studio next. All right, Bobby Mack going to be in studio in just a moment. Tough news for you. I was thinking about you last night when I saw this. Your boy, your hero, Johnny Miller. Do you hear he's retiring next year?
Really?
After the 2019 Phoenix Open. He's going to call one more Phoenix Open.
And he will go out. He's my favorite because he's the one guy I don't like. I'm not a commentator like he is. What is he, a commentator?
Yeah, he's a color analyst. Yeah, he does what Noodles does, but in golf. But he sits up by like the 18th green and just chills out.
And everybody has a hate on for him because of one reason. He tells the truth.
But does
he look at a guy, and I know he goes to the choke element a lot. If a guy hits a bad shot, he'll be like, that's just nerves there. And he goes to that a lot. But he knows this is a guy who's used to say to his caddy, is it 173 or 173 and a half? That's how good he was with his irons. But he also used to putt closing his eyes.
Really?
Yeah, Johnny Miller, like he got so bad with the yips putting, he putted with his eyes closed.
Are you serious? I never heard that.
I'm dead serious.
Like on the seniors tour? Not at Augusta when he was in his prime.
Dude, on the PGA tour, Johnny Miller putted with his eyes closed. All right.
Is that confirmed or is that fake news?
I mean,
that sounds like fake
news. I'm going to Google it. But
you think it's a bit of a hero move to say 173 or 173 and a half? Like, if you were the caddy, wouldn't you say, Johnny, what's the difference? You're hitting a
dude,
the
in the 70s, this guy was that dialed in with his irons. Like,
to the half yard?
Yes. Is it 173 or 173 and a half?
Hero comment. On the fairway or wherever he happened to be playing.
Yeah, it says including Johnny Miller, eyes closed is keeping eyes closed a technique from which recreational golfers can learn.
This guy would get his line on the putt and then close his eyes and putt. Johnny Miller of all people.
You should have your tour card revoked if you do that. Like, you're just admitting that it's a joke.
Now, does he say?
Well, Jordan Spieth looks at the hole, doesn't look at the ball.
That is, but that's only when he's within like 5 feet. He's not hitting a 40-foot like triple snake putt with his eyes closed.
Who cares? Don't you think that's goofy? Where a player that good is like looking at the hole? I couldn't putt not looking at the ball.
No, me neither. Although I can't putt. Period. Maybe I should close my eyes. Watch, I'll be on tour in 2 years if I start closing my eyes.
You need the long putter. I want to go back to that.
It's the goofiest looking apparatus.
I thought I saw one dope using it.
It works. My dad used to just roll in putts.
Oh, Billy used it?
Dude, this guy, he was like just money.
Just
Ben Crawford,
like right like, under his chin.
It's like using Chara's stick.
Yeah.
It's that long.
Who's it, Ben Crenshaw, who's the great putter? The Crenshaw?
Crenshaw never used the long putter.
No, but he could putt. Like,
oh, he could roll
money.
The rock. He used a little tiny blade, though.
Yeah.
Well, almost like a pick and road hockey.
he was money, though.
Bernhard Langer could just roll the rock with a long putter. That guy's been, I think he won last week. He's been dominating the senior tour.
The seniors tour is a totally different ballgame. All right, Bobby Mack in studio in 2 minutes. All right, Masai Ujiri in about an hour. The NBA tipping off tonight. Bob McKenzie, our hockey insider in studio. What's up, Bob?
Not much, boys. How about you?
Oh, we're doing well. We're trying to get a read on the ceiling of Kasperi Kapanen.
Oh, boy, everybody's fired up.
Oh, man. He is the next William Nylander.
You want to talk offer sheets now?
Well, that's exactly right. You would be crazy not to have an offer sheet ready for this guy.
Well, let's not get crazy about it, Bob, but I will say watching him play, I don't know how this plays out or what the time frame is for the organization to look and say, you know what, William Nylander, we got a guy here that can play, so you can just sit and marinate on this, and you think you are in the driver's seat? You're not, because this guy is fully capable as of right now.
Couple of things that I'll say about Kapanen. Number one, when the trade was made and the Leafs traded Kessel to Pittsburgh, Jimmy Rutherford told me on the day he made the trade, he goes, well, we got the best player, Phil Kessel, right now. He says, there will come a time, and it's not that far off, when the best player in the deal will be Kasperi Kapanen. That's how much he thought of him. Like, they drafted him in the first round. They anticipated he was going to be a really good player, but he was going to need time to develop. And even now, he's not even close to a finished product. But there's no question the Pittsburgh Penguins thought very highly of him. And when the trade was made and everybody just assumed, well, he's going to be a fourth line, speedy, penalty killer guy, the Penguins believed that there was much greater upside than that. That's number one. Number two, as far as everybody extrapolating, you know, the Nylander thing, okay, Nylander's redundant now, or you can push him off to the side. We've got Kapanen and going down all that road, and they're not going to be able to afford them all, and there's going to have to be a trade, and people are trying to extrapolate what the value of Kasperi Kapanen would be when his contract's up at the end of the year. All those things are valid and understandable. But remember one thing about the Leafs, the position they're in. They, you know, if they want to bridge Kasperi Kapanen, they can bridge Kasperi Kapanen. And same thing with Nylander. I mean, if it comes down to it and he doesn't want to do a long-term deal, you know, at some point he's got to play. And the Leafs have the hammer right now. They do. What that allows you to do, if you bridge one of these guys, let's say you get a long-term deal done with Nylander, you may not be in a position to want to do a long-term deal at a significant number for Kapanen if he were to keep scoring and continue to flourish. So maybe you do a bridge deal. And then over the course of that two-year period in the bridge deal, you sort out, where's Nylander at? Where's Kapanen at? Where's our cap at? What about the rest of the guys on the team? What are we going to do with Connor Brown? What are we going to do with this guy? And you decide who you're going to move, when you're going to move them, how you're going to move them. And it just gives you more flexibility. So that's a given, I think, for this Leaf team, that they're going to have to make a lot of hard calls on a lot of players, and using bridge contracts and using using the tools that the CBA gives you is what you need to do.
Bob McKenzie in studio. All right. Need you to play hockey historian here for us. So Matthews with two more points last night. That gives him 16 in his first seven games. This is courtesy of our buddy Jonas Siegel. Jonas tweeting this out. He may have just ripped it off NHL.com. I don't know. But players with 16 points in their first seven games over the last 30 years. Lemieux, Gretzky, Sakic, Stastny, LaFontaine, Nichols, Stevens, Goulet, Brown, Makarov, now Matthews.
Yeah, and a lot of those guys.
That's 80s hockey, too.
80s hockey, where they were. Every game was 8-7, and to that point. So, yeah, it's quite an accomplishment. He's on quite a roll. I don't know what else to say beyond that. I don't know. You know, I don't know what the leveling out process is going to be like. I don't know. You know, is he going to. You know, in the past, there have been periods, I'm sure, where he's gone 8, 9, 10 games and hasn't done a lot. You know, will that happen this year? You know, everybody would say no, it's impossible because he's this juggernaut who just can't be stopped. But as I say, I try to be fairly unimpressed with whatever happens in the first two or three weeks of the season. And it's hard not to be impressed by what he's done. And, you know, he's quicker, his shot looks better. You know, the Leafs are so much a better team when, you know, Tavares is playing extremely well and he's insulating Matthews and vice versa. You know, Marner's been fantastic. So it's hard not to be excited if you're a Leaf fan. But I like to wait before the first month of the season is over before I feel like I know where things are headed.
We were talking off air, and talking about Frederik Andersen, and even if he's 99%, why would you even think about playing him Thursday? Like, it just something doesn't smell right. The smell test compared to what Babcock was saying, that he's playing Thursday, and then Freddie comes out today and is like, yeah, it's some swelling my knee. I'm not sure what's going on. Like, the disconnect early on, like,
although that's, you know what, I thought about this at first, and then I thought, you know what, that's just Mike being Mike. Mike says it for all the players, and then the next thing he's going to say is, yeah, that's why they have sports science guys, because if it was up to the coach, everybody would be playing, you know.
It's the old Daryl Sutter.
Like, yeah, exactly. You're in, and then the guy has to come and say, no, I'm not in, I can't go, and or somebody will come in and tell the coach he can't go.
Right.
And they're like, okay, no problem. And then Babs won't care. He'll just come out and say, yeah, they told me he's not going today. So, okay, he's not going.
And Sparks are going next Thursday, man up. Yes. Bob McKenzie in studio. So we know what's going to hit tonight at midnight in this country. Marijuana will be legalized. It's been used for a long time, but now it's legalized. And there are 7 Canadian teams in the league. There's a team in Colorado. There's other states down there where it's
California.
Legal. California. The league continues to say, they don't care about the rules and regulations of states and provinces and countries, et cetera. They're going to continue to have a strict drug policy, and marijuana is not accepted. But at what point do you think they're going to say, we have to adjust?
Yeah, you know,
does
what?
That ever come up or no?
I'm sure it does. I'm sure that, you know, you've got to change with the times over time. But right now, you know, just because it's happening in Canada, and obviously Canada's, you know, the dominant part of the National Hockey League, as you say, only 7 of 31 teams are in Canada, but, you know, it's a Canadian game. And so I don't know. I have no idea where it's going to go. I mean, I don't know how much the legalization changes anything. You know, there are players that obviously use it, and I don't think they were waiting for it necessarily to be legalized, but nevertheless, you know, it's...
Could you see the PA using it, though? As I could see at some point one of the players' association, I think it'll start in the NFL, where they're going to fight and say, our players use this because they're banged up.
Yeah,
and it helps
absolutely. And, you know, it sounds like a cliche when you say the medicinal use of marijuana, but, you know, anybody who's taking cancer treatments or in chronic pain will tell you that there are certainly benefits to it. And coming without some of the other side effects that pharmaceuticals, you know, big pharmaceuticals would have on you. So, yeah, I would think it's going to be a talking point. I don't think anything's going to happen right now. Obviously, the league's basically put up the wall and said, no, everything's status quo. And that's for now. But there's a new CBA going to come up, whether it's in 2 years or 3 or 4 or whatever. And I'm sure this will be a discussion point and part of it all, I would think.
That'd be an interesting.
That's where I was heading. I think this is going to have to be talked about in the CBA and put into in the next agreement, because just like Bob said, like, this, the times are changing. You have to morph with them, and there will be rules in place so that if something happens, there is going to be precedent. Like, there'll be the first time something happens with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the NHLPA does have a substance abuse program. They've got lots of support if you reach out for it, or unfortunately, if you have an issue sometimes and get in trouble, they are there for support. I've known people that have been in it, and they've done a very good job. But this is kind of new, and it's uncharted territory. I you're right. I played with players. I played with one guy who I'd pick up to drive to the rink, and he smoked a joint every morning. Like, I don't know why, I guess.
On his way to practice.
Like, just that, I wake up and smoke a joint. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that was his, like...
I played with a guy that got called by the NHL, and they said, we think you have a problem with weed, and he said, no, I have a problem without it, and hung up the phone.
Like, it's around, but, you know...
it's a pretty good line.
That's a great line.
No, we think you have a problem with weed. No, I actually have a problem without it, so thank you, and hung up the phone.
Don't ever call me again.
I think we all know somebody who is used recreationally, or, you know... or medicinally, it has to be integrated into our society. I think until the parameters are in place,
I want to see a CBA battle where, like, you know, Donald Fear comes out and he's like, this is the hill we're going to die on.
Making
sure that it's legalized within the framework of the CBA. And the NHL being like, okay, then that means you can't go to the Olympics. Or, you know, like, imagine a battle. But this is, like, we're joking about it, but, like, you see come out all the time in the NFL.
Players,
like, 80% of players
but it
use
is a
it.
Some players use it for medicinal purposes. And there's other guys that are playing
Fortnite and smoking weed.
But you can't go to the Olympics taking a Sudafed.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not. I don't think you're going to be able to smoke a joint.
I don't know
because I know for a fact in playing with guys who were going to the Olympics, there was a list of things. I remember Aginla being deathly sick, had the flu, couldn't take Advil, cold and sinus because it's got something in it that would show a trace. Like, it is ridiculous. Again, I never had the opportunity to play in the Olympics, but I thought some of those rules that they had were ridiculous.
Oh, they're so stupid. A lot of it's
like Nick
stupid.
Backstrom. Didn't Nick Backstrom?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the World Championships, yeah. And he didn't get to play in the gold medal game.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, we'll see. All right, Bob, insider trading that's hockey for you tonight?
Yep. Easy night.
We'll catch you later this evening then. There's Bob McKenzie, our TSN hockey insider. He'll be with us later in the week as well. Rays coming up just after 6 today. Masai Ujiri at 5:30. Masai Ujiri at 5:30. Overdraft has a pair of tickets for the Leafs taking on the Jets Saturday, October 27th. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. On Friday, you have the chance to call in and name that Leaf. Be the first one to answer correctly, and you and a friend will be headed to the game. Today's clue, this Maple Leaf wore number 11. This Maple Leaf wore number 11. That is today's clue. Jets Oilers tonight. Connor McDavid in Winnipeg.
Fourth game of the season.
Crazy.
Like, the Leafs have played 7. I was looking at it.
Yeah.
There's some teams that have played 3 games. Edmonton is included.
The Florida teams, right? Like, yeah. The Panthers are playing tonight, and they're 0-2-1. They're 11 points behind the Leaves.
You're right.
But they played 3 times.
Yeah, they've haven't been good, and they've only played 3 times. You're right. Like, that's at some point, this is going to benefit the Leafs that their schedule. They've played a lot. They've played 7 games.
And if you're Florida, you got to be thinking, okay, it hasn't been that good, but what kind of advantage is this? Like, we haven't played. We have no chance to catch up.
And we're not in a groove either.
Exactly. Like, yes, it's early, but an 11-point spread is daunting. You're like, wow, the top team in the division has 11 points on us.
Well, if you're the coaching staff, you're thinking the next 10 games makes our season. We either get back into it or we're in a bind.
Because Boston's off to the start you expected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tampa's only played 3 games too, but they're going to find their way. I got no problem with Tampa, it's the rest of the pack. You know, you think Toronto, Boston, Tampa, those were the big 3 to begin with.
And some will reset too throughout the league.
Yeah, of course. There's going to be ups and downs. All right, Masai coming up at 5:30. We'll get into that Packers win last night. And the vibe down at Scotiabank last night. We'll touch on that as well. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.